row bowed. Amen. That's exactly right. I appreciate our young folk. I love them. And thankful for what that the Lord's already doing in their lives. And it's good to hear young folk testify, be able to thank God for hurts they've gone through. I wasn't expecting that tonight, but that shows some maturity. Most of us adults don't get to that place. And I thank the Lord for what He's doing. Luke chapter number 7, be back there. Brother Chad, don't cut that thing down at all. That's perfect right there. Amen. Is that too loud coming out? It ain't yet. Amen. All right, Luke chapter number 7. And y'all pray for me. I've got a lot to get to. We give you a lot this morning. And run you from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the beginning to the end. And if the Lord will help us, we'll settle down in this passage a little bit tonight and maybe pick up where we left off this morning. Stand with me. We're going to read the verses again. I think it's important. Sometimes we make this statement, and I'm not saying there's not a place for it, but we make the statement for the sake of time, and we cut out the most important part, and that's the Word of God.
Yeah.
And if we're going to have any for sake of time, I'll cut a little bit off in the message. We want the Word of God to be the main thing. And it's important. It's important. Joe and I was talking before service, and he said, I've learned more in the few months I've been coming to Calvary than I've learned my entire time at the church he's come from. And I told him, I said, the reason that is we emphasize the Word of God.
Yes.
And if you just get up and preach the Word of God, you'll learn something. If you'll pay attention, you'll learn something, and you'll grow in the things of God. Ain't important what I think, and it sure ain't important what you think. What's important is what God has said in His Word. And listen, I'm not trying to be arrogant or proud or condescending about that statement. It's just true. It don't matter what you and I think. It matters what God's Word says. Y'all have all seen the bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's a terrible bumper sticker. I mean, an awful bumper sticker. God said it, that settles it whether I believe it or not. Somebody say amen right there. Settles it. There's a lot of folk don't believe it, but it's still settled, forever settled. Amen. David said it is forever settled in heaven. Ain't nothing we can do about it. And so thank God tonight for the Word of God, the King James Bible, the old black book. Amen. Still gets the job done. The law of the Lord is perfect. Only because it's perfect can it do what David said, converting the soul. I'm glad tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God tonight for the Word of God. David said, I worship toward thy holy temple. Praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast made, this is where he's going to worship now. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Amen. I'm telling you, his place, his name above it, and he's placed his word above his own name. Made more of his word than he has his own name. Amen. You go talk about Jesus' son business to pick up. Amen. You go talk about all the Jehovah names. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Nisi. Elohim. Amen. Emmanuel. I mean every name. You put it down and God said, I've made more of my word. Magnified it above all my name. Amen. If I said Jesus tonight, you ought to sit up and pay attention. If we're telling you about Jesus tonight, you ought to sit up and pay attention. But when we say open your Bible, you ought to say, I'm going to sit up and pay attention because he's magnified his word above all his name. Ain't important what you think or I think. Matters what God said in his word. Let's read it tonight. Luke chapter number 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him and he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is. It toucheth thee not, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose it he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came up, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. I want you to understand that phrase. We'll get to that in just a moment. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Father, help us now. Lord, for the next few moments, help us, Lord, to be swift in our thoughts and to be clear, Lord, in communicating the Word of God and the truths you've laid on our heart for this hour. God, I pray that you deal with us. Lord, may you sit right down in the midst of our gathering this evening, our assembling together. And Lord, you make your Word alive, and may it burn in us, and God, may it do a work in us and affect your work. And Lord, would be long-lasting and, Lord, enduring, Lord, in days to come. Help us to learn these truths about humility and worship. And Lord, may we love you much when we leave here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. In this passage of Scripture, we said this morning that we believe we find a beautiful expression of humility and worship. As this sinner woman, we don't know her name. We don't know her background. We don't know where she come from, but we do know this, and this woman came in an act of adoration, fell down at the feet of Christ in humility, and began to worship. The word worship is not used here in this passage of Scripture. This morning, we'll not take time to run all the references again. As we studied the Word of God and what worship is, and all the references in the Word of God to worship and falling down upon one's face, and getting down in the dirt and falling down in the earth, and my friend, bowing down and kneeling down, that is worship language and speaks of the spirit of humility by which we must worship God. We said this morning, proud people, amen, not only are not able to be saved, but my friend, they're not able to worship God. God only saves those who humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and receive salvation. And we understand that it's our requirement, a job in our life, our Christian duty, to maintain a spirit of humility. It was the believers that James wrote and said that God resisted the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And we understand that, my friend, over and over in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, one of the great verses we studied this morning, we found that we're asked the question, what doth the Lord require of thee? And what he requires is that we do justly. Amen. And that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly before our God. Amen. It is the requirement that God has put upon our Christian life that you and I walk, my friend, in humility with God. We understood this morning that in humility and the importance of humility and worship is not just putting our flesh down and putting ourselves in the dirt, but it is magnifying God for who that he is. Revelation 4 and verse 10 and 11, we find he's our creator. We find that he's our Lord.
Lord, and we find that He's our Redeemer, and then we ought to magnify and exalt Him, amen, with a spirit of humility, put ourselves down and raise Him up as the God that He is. All the Bible truths about humility and worship we said this morning is exemplified, and this is really where we left off and made some closing remarks. But all the subjects about humility and worship, passages about humility and worship, we believe to be exemplified in the story we've read in your hearing tonight. As this woman makes her way in the Pharisee's house, this Pharisee has invited the Lord to come in. He's invited Him to sit down. He's invited Him to eat at His table. And nothing wrong with that. In fact, very noble thing, especially in the hour of the day that this takes place, to be a Pharisee and to try to get along with the Lord would be a very noble thing for one to do. And yet, my friend, this Pharisee had the Lord in, and the Lord said, "You brought me in, but You gave me no water to wash my feet. You gave me no ointment to anoint my head. You gave me no kisses." And yet this woman, this sinner woman, has come in, and Jesus said, "Since the time that I came in, she has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears. She's not ceased to kiss my feet. She's not ceased to anoint my feet with the ointment that she's broken open out of this alabaster box." And so, my friend, she's in the dirt, exemplifying and expressing humility that, my friend, that is necessary that the child of God has as a spirit of humility in worshiping the Lord. I said this morning, this woman did not come to hear a sermon, nor did she come to make a request. She had no outline of things that she needed from God. Amen. She didn't come to fellowship with other people. She didn't come to see who was there and who wasn't there. This woman, my friend, didn't come to meet the host. Amen. Nor did she come to be refreshed in her spirit. Amen. She came to worship. She didn't come, amen, because it was the popular thing to do. Amen. Nor did she come, as we read this, in breaking the alabaster box. She didn't come withholding anything. Amen. She came as she was with all she had, got down in the dirt, and in humility exercised worship of the one that deserves it all. And so we're preaching on this subject. Amen. We dealt with last week on holiness, the standard for worship. And I've heard a lot of comments about the message, and some said they enjoyed it. I've had several tell me today, "And preacher, the message this morning hit me right between the eyes." Amen. Now, if I got you between the eyes, my aim's off. I've been trying to get to your heart on that. And so we wanted to find a lodging place in your heart. Amen. As holiness, and if holiness is, and it is, as we preached it last Sunday night, it is the standard for worship. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's right, my friend, to live holy. Amen. To be holy. Have a holy heart, a holy spirit, and a holy life. Amen. To be right and to do right. Amen. Just to be holy. Amen. That attracts the attention of God. But we want to be balanced now. Amen. Don't we want to be balanced? We want to be biblical. And if you're going to be biblical, you got to be balanced. And my friend, he said, holiness is important. But humility is as important as holiness is. And so holiness is the standard for worship. But humility is the spirit whereby we worship our God. I noticed some things about, amen, in this passage of Scripture. I'll give you maybe five or six things tonight. Amen. And we'll go to the house. Amen. Notice with me this evening the perception in her worship. As we consider this woman's humility and the spirit of worship, notice with me, I think it had something to do with the perception in her worship. And look with me again in verse 37. The Bible said, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner." What did the Bible say? Amen. This said, this is the Holy Ghost commentary about this woman's life. Verse 37 is the Holy Ghost speaking. And He said, "There's a certain woman," amen, "and she was a sinner." And notice with me in verse number 39. Amen. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying, number one, that God, that the Bible said she was a sinner. And the Bible said in verse 39, "And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known on who and what manner of woman this is, it toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Amen. The word of God said she's a sinner. Brother Hale, this Pharisee looks up. Amen. Evidently he knew her background. He knew what side of town she come from. Amen. She knew, my friend, where she had, amen, traveled from. And he looked at her and he said, this woman is a sinner. And if the Lord really knew what she was, the Lord wouldn't let this woman be touching him because she's a sinner. Amen. Are y'all in the building tonight? Amen. Notice we met, and the Lord did know exactly what she was. If you will, consider verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many. You say, what are you saying, Brother Jeff? I'm saying it. And the Bible said she is a sinner. And the Pharisees said she is a sinner. And the Lord said she was a sinner. The Lord, my friend, even went beyond what, amen, the Holy Ghost said. And beyond what the Pharisees said, and said she ain't just a sinner, she's got a whole bunch of sin. Amen. You say, what's the word many mean in the Greek? Amen. I didn't look it up, but it probably means something like she had a whole bunch of baggage. She had a big bag of sin, and my friend, she carried it, amen, as a sinner. And you say, but Jeff, what are you saying tonight? Amen, understand this, and the Bible said she's a sinner, and the Pharisees said she's a sinner, and the Lord said she's a sinner, and she never said she wasn't. She never came in, my friend, trying to convince a Holy Ghost that she was something that she wasn't. She didn't come in trying to convince a Pharisee that she was something that she wasn't. She didn't even come to the Lord trying to convince the Lord that she was something that she wasn't. Amen. She came in humility and perceived that what the Bible said about her and the Pharisees said about her and the Lord said about her, and indeed she was a sinner. And I say, when that reality dawns in our heart, and listen, the humility in her worship is seen, and that she never justified herself to be any better than what others perceived her to be. Amen. Because she perceived the same. Amen. Kathy, she knows what she is. That's why we have very little humility and why we have very little worship in this day. We do not truly perceive exactly what we are. And I remind you, in your veins tonight is Adamic blood, is blood that is corrupt. Amen. Within you dwells a fleshly nature, and as wicked tonight as it's ever been. I don't care how long you've been saved, how many standards you force on yourself. My friend, your flesh is still wicked. Amen. And if you're not careful, you'll forget, amen, what you are and the many sins you've had. Amen. And it'll cause you to be proud, rob you of humility. And when there is no humility, there'll be no worship. The perception in her worship is she understands she's a sinner. It's hard in 2014 to get people to understand they're a sinner. And that's as true on the outside of this church as it is the inside. Amen. Can I remind you, sir, you ain't always had a suit and tie on. Every hair ain't always been in place. Amen. Your life has not always been what God has blessed it to be. Amen. This woman comes as she is in her fleshly nature, her sinful nature. Amen. She ain't arguing and trying, Brother Gerald, to convince anybody she's any better than what she really is. She just falls down in the dirt as the sinner that she really is. And when you comprehend what you are and who He is, amen, the spirit of humility prevails, and worship is experienced in a real way. The Pharisee says, I've got all the garments right. Amen. I've got the broidered garments. I don't do this. I don't do that. And what's the Pharisee do? The Pharisee goes through this whole setting, not understanding that he is as wicked and as vile and corrupt as this woman that he's condemning and criticizing. And friend, he's as low a sinner as she is, and he misses out. Why? Because he thinks more highly of himself than he ought to think. And my friend, he's robbed, my friend, amen, of a real true experience in worship, because he's lacking a spirit of humility. That's like we do when we come into church. And we look around and we say, I thank God I'm not like him. And I thank God I'm not like her. And if people knew what they were, they wouldn't be associating with them. Can I say, and man, friend, that's the crowd that the Lord is interested in. A crowd that'll be honest about, amen, who they are and what they are. And in no way justifying sinful living in that. Amen, you heard me preach last week on holiness. But at the end of the day, all our righteousness, the Bible said, is this filthy rag, said. All we do in the flesh, said, it's still fails to please God. Amen. It's when that heart is broken and the spirit is humble before God and accepting our rightful place in the dirt as the sinner that we really are. Her perception, the perception in her worship. Number two, notice with me the placement of her worship. The placement of her worship. Notice with me what verse 38 said. And stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. The perception is she knows she's a sinner. And as the more she realizes that, watches now, she walks in the door, she's standing. But the closer she moves to Christ, the more humility is expressed. But then the closer she draws to the Lord, the lower she gets. She walks in the door standing, but when she gets done, Brother Gerald, she's down in the dirt at his feet. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying if we was half as close to Christ as we claim we'd be a lot more humble than we are. Yeah, man, don't try to convince me how spiritual you are because of what you do and you don't have. Amen. Those that have drawn near to the Lord, amen, they're humble. They rest themselves down in humility at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Amen. This woman, the closer this woman gets to Christ, the more humility is seen in her. She comes to Christ standing in verse 38, but soon finds herself kneeling at his feet. Oh, this woman, she places herself in this position of humility to worship Jesus. The Bible said she begins to do something that I believe is very important and key to this whole passage. She comes, Brother Gerald, and the Bible said she began to wash his feet with her tears. The more she realizes what she is and who he is, and the closer she draws to him, her heart is broke and the tears begin to flow, and she's down in the dirt at his feet. And the Bible said that she began to wash his feet with her tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. Now that seems strange to me to be in this passage of scripture. But you understand, and understand, I'm not preaching on this. I don't need no more enemies tonight than what I've got. But Paul said this. He said, if a woman have long hair, it is a what? Come on now, I know we're in 2014, but it's still in the Bible. It is a glory unto her. There's something glorious to a woman. My friend, about her hair, and all you women, amen, took time today to fix your hair up and make sure, amen, listen, I just go in there, swap it back, throw a little hairspray on, and we're going. Amen, I don't want it to be a mess, but I ain't going to spend hours fixing it. Somebody say amen. We ain't Jim Bob Duggar. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. But then women, they'll get in there and they'll fix it and they'll fluff it and wash it and shampoo it and condition it. Somebody help me now. Amen. They'll straighten it and blow it and curl it. Amen. And only the Lord knows what all they do to it. You know why? Because there's a, amen, it's a crown to them. It's a glory to them. And my friend, we find this woman coming to the Lord and understanding she's a sinner, understanding what she is. She begins to weep. She begins to cry. She begins to humble herself in His feet. And my friend, the Lord said, and she has not. Amen. Listen, He said, Samet, you didn't give me no basin of water to wash my feet. He said, but this woman, amen, since I came here, all she's been doing that is laying down at my feet and taking the glory of her hand and wiping my feet. And I say, that's when you know you've entered the realm of the spirit of humility to worship the Lord, is when you take all your glory and you lay it down at the feet of the one that you owe it all to. Amen. Are y'all in the building tonight? Amen. So what? Amen. We've learned to say, and we've learned to preach, and we've learned to teach, and we've learned to sow with, and we've learned to do this, and we've learned to do that. Amen. The spirit of humility says, I've got to get down in the dirt and take all my glory, all the things I've accomplished, and lay them down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Listen, I'm so sick, amen, of hearing the big name preachers get up and tell me how big shot they are, how they can do this, how they've done that, amen, on the how-to courses, amen, whatever happened, amen, remembering back to the day that I was a sinner on the road to hell, and everything good in my life, I owe it all to the Lord. Anything glorious, anything good, anything right, I owe it to the grace of Almighty God, and the spirit of humility puts me down and gives Him my glory. Is that not what we're going to do in heaven? By the way, there ain't going to be one single stinking Pharisee on the other side. There'll be nobody with their chest poked out saying, look at me, look at what I am. Oh no, we're going to go by the judgment seat, and we will receive, my friend, rewards for the things we've done. Amen. There'll be them crowns that the Bible talks about that God's going to give us as we labor and as we're faithful. And my friend, my Jerry, when we get to glory, you ain't going to wear a crown. Amen. I've told y'all before about being careful about getting your Bible doctrine from country songs. I wouldn't let Bill Gaither determine what kind of doctrine I believe. Amen. Going to put on a crown and walk around all over God's promised land. And friend, if I understand the King James Bible right, amen, we're going to be given a crown there, and we won't even dare put it on our own head there. Amen. We'll get down over there to the throne of God there and bow down and say, yeah, I'm not worthy yet. You're worthy yet. I have this because you've been so good to me. Hallelujah! No glory, no self-glory. We realize then there are no self-made men, no self-made women. We'll humble ourselves and give God every crown of glory. If we're going to do it on that day, Brother Hill, we better get to practicing tonight. Amen. Somebody compliments us and we kind of bow up a little bit. Amen. We go walking down the mall and we like that old Pharisee that says, thank God I ain't like him. I thank thee, oh God, that I'm not like her. You know what you're doing? You're glorifying yourself. You glorifying yourself. The Lord condemned that kind of spirit. Amen. He said you ought to be like that old publican. Amen. And smacks and beats your chest. Amen. And looks up to God and begs for mercy. Understanding that. And if there is anything good in you, you have it because of the Lord. It's about high time we Baptists forget and thank God for a good heritage. I believe everything Jerry prayed a moment ago. I believe we're in one of the best churches in America tonight. There ain't nothing wrong with thanking God for that. But if we ain't careful, we'll walk around Newport saying, well, I belong to Calvary. I belong to Calvary. And I'm glad I don't belong to this church and I don't belong to that church. And friend, can I remind you, we are nothing without God. It ain't about the name on the church sign. It ain't about, amen, how good we can preach and how good we can say. It's about you and I humbling down and getting in the dirt. Amen. In the placement, the right placement of worship. Amen. Getting down in the feet of the Lord, giving Him glory. Is that right? Notice the passion in our worship. Here's what Jesus said. He said, Simon, I come in. You didn't give me no basin of water. You gave me no water to wash my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears. You give me no kisses. She ain't stopped to kiss my feet. You didn't break out no ointment and anoint my head with oil. But this woman has took all her life savings and broken open this alabaster box and anointed my very feet. And the Lord looked at Simon and he gave him a parable. He gave him a story. He said, hey, Simon, there's a man, there's two men that owed their master. One owed 500 pence, another owed 50, and neither of them could pay. And so the master said, I just forgive you both. He said, Simon, you tell me which one's going to love the master the most. And Simon said, I suppose the one that was forgave the most. And Jesus said, thou hast rightly said. You're right. What is it about? The Lord is teaching you and I that humility in worship, my friend, involves a passion. It involves a love. In fact, the Lord comes down and He said, this woman, though her sins are many, they're forgiven, for she hath loved much. Is that what it said? My friend, the reason we don't humble ourselves, amen, in worship and in a real experience of worship is we really don't love God as much as we should. Watch this. What did the Bible say in verse 38? She came in. She stood behind the Lord. She's what? She's weeping. She falls down, Brother Chris, at His feet and begins to wash His feet with her tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head. And what the Bible say? And kissed His feet. I'll be honest with you, there ain't a man's foot in here I want to kiss. Say amen, Brother Will. This woman, why is she doing that? Because she loves the one whose feet she is at. One thing is interesting about this passage of Scripture, and I don't want to bore you with a lot of terms, but if you study the Old Testament word worship and do a word study on it, one of the definitions that pops up regularly simply means to kiss. It deals with the word picture worship oftentimes deals with in Hebrew poetry of a dog coming and licking his master's hand. The Lord said, her sins, which are many, they're forgiven. This woman has been forgiven. She has loved me much. And you imagine an egg in your mind. Amen. There's an old dog that, amen, has belonged to a cruel owner. That owner has beat it and kicked it and abused it, left it out in the rain, let it go hungry, until my friend one day gets sick and tired of it and abandons it out in the middle of the city on a cold, rainy, windy night. Inside a house is a gentleman that is going about the business of his evening, and Sister Kathy hears outside the whimpering and the barking and the pain of an animal that evidently is in dire need. This man in love and in pity, a man on this animal interested in what's going on, gets his garment on and goes out into the elements. A man goes out into the wind and out into the rain, out into the cold, and Brother Gerald, he goes where that dog is trapped. He finds a dog that my friend has no strength to stand. He finds a dog that my friend obviously has been abused and obviously has been beaten dead and obviously is hungry and thirsty and obviously is soon to that. This man, my friend, looks at this animal, and Brother Dean, he lovingly scoops this animal up and brings it back into the world. He sets it over there by the fire. He goes in maybe and gets a bowl full of water and begins, amen, to nurse that dog back to health. He goes in there, amen, he grills up a little chicken on the grill and brings it over there and feeds it out of the very palm of his hand. It's not long that that dog begins to gain its strength. Several days and weeks go by, and this dog is now able to stand on its own. It's now, my friend, full and beginning to fatten up. This dog, my friend's got a nice soft bed over there in the corner to lay. Are y'all listening to me? This dog, my friend, is loved on and cared for like that it has never known. And imagine with me one evening, the master is sitting in his chair, and my friend, he's just there minding his own business. Amen. Maybe he's even dozing off a little bit, and he's awakened by Brother John, an old dog, the dog that he rescued. Amen. Coming up and bumping his nose. Amen. And there that dog licks his hand. What is that dog doing? That dog is worshiping the one and found it out in the cold. And my friend rescued it from danger. Amen. That dog coming over there. Amen. He comes in, Brother Dean. Amen. And he licks him on the head. What's that dog doing? He's saying, thank you. Thank you for finding me. Thank you for feeding me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you for being so good to me. Amen. Is that not what we're to do? I mean, I hate to call you a dog tonight, but that's all we were. That's all we were. Abused by sin. And the Lord heard our cry and came to where we were and fed us and has been good to us. And every now and then, we ought to come in like an old dog. Hallelujah. Amen. Find in the master's hand. Yeah, man. Those that remember where they were when he found them. They come in, they don't need no pep rally. They don't got to be pumped up. They come in, understand it. Had he not heard their track? Had he not run to where they were? Had he not scooped them up out of the mess they were in? Had he not brought them back to his house? They'd be dead. Hallelujah. Thank God it's time that we love the Lord and worship Him for all that He's done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We walk in like we're some dignified elitist mentality. Amen. All you are is an old dog and ought to be burning in hell. Amen. And those that realize what we are, what we were, what we deserve, have no problem falling down and kissing the master's feet. Amen. When's the last time you just got down? You didn't bring God a whole list of all the things you wanted. You just acted like an old dog. Got down and kissed his feet. You know why we don't? No spirit of humility. That old dog don't forget where he came from. That old dog ain't forgot about the elements he was saved out of. That's why Jesus said, this woman, she'd been forgiven of all her sin. And because she's been forgiven of much, she has loved much. There is passion that has drove her to her knee. There is a passion that men can't understand and has drove her to this place. Amen. To love on the feet of the Lord. Amen. The Lord makes a statement in this passage. He said, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now let me say something. It took the same grace of God to save Sissy out of the mess she was saved out of as it did to save little Sammy, a little preacher's kid, that all he's ever known is church. Same amount of grace, same amount of mercy, same amount of blood. Amen. Same amount of everything. It's not that she's forgiven, amen, to a greater degree than he is. It's the same forgiveness. The problem is in our mentality. It's our perception. It's not a problem with God. It's not a problem with what you're saved out of or weren't saved out of. It's a problem with understanding I deserve to be in hell. God forgave me of all my sin. Whether you ever drank or whether you ever put dope in your veins, whether you ever met friend hard around, amen, what matters is you were a sinner and the grace of God forgave you of all your sin. When you understand what you deserve and the forgiveness and the mercy of God, my friend, we take ourselves a rightful place like an old dog who just wants to love on the master that pulled him out of the mess he was in. Am I making any sense tonight? Amen. God help us quit walking around, amen, like we're somebody special. We're like old Mephibosheth. Remember, David said to old Ziba, he said, go fetch him. Go down there to Lodi Bar and bring him back. Amen. I'm going to show kindness to him for Jonathan's sake. He don't deserve that. He deserves to die. David said, I'll give him kindness. I'll do it for Jonathan's sake. Old Mephibosheth got back. Old Mephibosheth said, I tell you right now, I'm Saul's grandson. I'm Jonathan. And said, and you better be good to me. Oh no. He came in and he said, what does the king want to do with a dead dog like me? We walk in talking about everything we are. Amen. The mentality of everything we think that we've arrived to be. Amen. Friend, we miss out. Amen. In the spirit of humility to really worship God when we don't understand we ain't nothing but a dead dog that God fetched one day. Yes, sir. Amen. The perception in our worship. The placement in our worship. The passion in our worship. Notice with me in this passage of Scripture, there's at least two more things, maybe three I want to give you. I know we're getting a little lengthy tonight. I hope we're making sense. Amen. Notice the power of our worship. Verse 37 and 38, the Bible said, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner when she knew that Jesus said it meet in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and he wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Here she comes in the dirt, crawling to the Lord like an old dead dog, worshiping. What's she do? She takes an alabaster box. The only way to get the ointment out was it had to be crushed. She breaks it open, takes that ointment, my friend, as it flows in her hands, and begins, Brother Gerald, I'm sorry I keep using you, but amen, you get to be the Lord tonight. Gets down there and begins to rub that oil all over his feet. The very minute she breaks that alabaster box, the whole room immediately begins to be filled. It's her worship. Amen. Y'all remember over there another incident in the end of the Lord's ministry. A woman came, same instance, brings an alabaster box, breaks it open, and the disciples basically said, what a waste. This could have been sold, and we could have used this in so many other ways. The Lord looked at him, he said, hey, it ain't waste. It's worship. It ain't waste. You know what the world drives by tonight? They think we're wasting our time. Hallelujah. They ride by and they feel sorry for you getting yelled at by some young red-headed stomping, hacking preacher, amen. They feel sorry for you. You come in here and you even pay money, my friend, to, amen, be treated like this. Amen. They run by, drive by, and they say, what a waste. Hey, it ain't waste. It's worship. Amen. When we come in and we break open those things and we pour them out before the Lord, amen, listen, it fills the room with the aroma of worship. Now all of a sudden people that ain't even worshiping are being blessed. Other people are being impacted. Other people are being influenced. In fact, even a Pharisee is going to get a word from God because she worshiped. Amen. Two ways you deal with a Pharisee. Number one, you just preach, 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 preach. Drop the plow, preach, sledgehammer it, bazooka gun it. Somebody say amen. You stomp it and you back up and you stomp it again and you just keep stomping till you stomp every ounce of Pharisee out of it. The other way you deal with it, you get some people in a congregation that realize they're sinners, that realize what God saved them out of, and are just happy to be anywhere in the presence of God. Better say hallelujah. Oh, better find their place at the feet of the Lord, kissing His feet. Amen. Watch this. She begins to worship, and the Pharisee immediately begins to say, I just don't even know if all that's real. If the Lord really knew, He wouldn't be letting her act like this. Everybody okay? If the Lord really knew, He wouldn't let her be carried on like this down here. The Lord said, hey, Simon, come here. Come on up in here, Simon. She's right and you're wrong. And the Lord preached an entire message to a Pharisee and got him to the place he had to admit, there's more to that than what I realized. It's the power of humbling yourself, the spirit of humility and worship. Brother Gerald, it makes an impact. It makes an influence. Have you ever come into a service and you really had a need and somebody else went to worshiping and you got in on the overflow of it? You know what that is? That's the power of the spirit of humility and worship. Somebody else humbled their self and worshiped God and you reaped the benefits. You reaped the aroma that was broken open. There'd been times, son, I come in and I didn't know if I could worship or not. Before I left, I was a-worshiping, had the joy of the Lord in my heart because somebody else had enough humility to say, I don't care if anybody else is going to worship or not, I am.
Yes, sir. Amen.
The power of her worship. Notice with me, we've seen the placement and the perception. We've seen the passion and the, amen, and the power. Notice the praise for her worship, and I'm winding down. We don't observe this passage long without seeing that some saw her worship and were critical. Oh, Pharisee, and I hate to keep picking on this Pharisee. God help him. He needs some help. He sits there and he milks his little Pharisee chin. Or Jerry, just milking it. Studying it. How in the world can somebody like her touch his feet? And he just milks, milks, milks. But what everybody else was critical of, Jesus commended. Jesus said, I don't care what you say, Simon. What this woman has done has been far greater than all your Phariseeism, all your legalism, all the things you think that I ought to be honored just to be in your house because you're Simon the Pharisee. But you gave me no water. You've gave me no kisses. You've gave me no ointment. But this woman hadn't stopped to do it since I walked in the house. What are you saying, Brother Jeff? I'm saying, now listen to me and just hear me out. You better be careful what you say about how people worship God. Well, if Brother Jeff knew what they did, he'd put a stop to that. Maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. Maybe if God wanted me to know, I'd have knowed it. Come on now. We ain't worshiping because we're worthy and we got everything nailed down. This woman came in with every sin, a big old baggage of it. Said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Got down in the dirt and just worshiped. And by the way, and I'm for holiness. I preached it last week. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something about a spirit of humility that when you put yourself down, the Lord said, I like that. And Gerald, there ain't nothing no Pharisee can do about it. Don't matter how, I mean, they milk their chin till it falls off. I've seen them do it. I've seen them do it. I've been in services, people worship. I've seen people sit back and roll their eyes. That's a stinking Pharisee. We're not worshiping because, amen. I've seen people mess up, I mean in deep sin, immorality. Saved people, come on now. And my friend, people won't let it go. 20 years later, they're still talking about, well, I don't know what they did 20 years ago. I ain't for what they did 20 years ago. They shouldn't have done it, but they done it in the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. And who do we think we are hold sin over somebody's head? That's between them and the Lord and their preacher. I'm going to say it again. I said it this morning. This Pharisee never worshipped God in this entire passage. Why? Because he's not humble. He's Mr. Proud Pharisee. His name is Proud Pharisee. And he says, if the Lord knew what she was, the Lord said, hey, big boy, I know what she is. And I know more about what she is, what she's done, and who she's done it with than you do. And he looked at her and he said, hey, you've been forgiven. Amen. Notice the peace of her worship. What did Jesus say? This passage ends. Betty, it ends. Go in peace. When you humble yourself down and you worship God, there's peace that flows from that. We live in a very, very dangerous, perilous world. Everybody's looking for peace. But then you know where you find peace? You find peace in humbling down, worshiping God. You'll find it down here on your knees. It won't be picking this bench up and throwing it through the window. It won't be when you run through the doors back there and bust them off the hinges and we got to replace the door jam. It'll be in you finding your place in the dirt. Saying, Lord, I need more than just an emotional experience. I'm coming to thank you for all that you've done. Just an old sinner, an old dead dog, rescued by the grace of God. Here to kiss on you, love on you, take my glory and lay it down at your feet in humility. Rid of every ounce of pride. Rid of everything I think I am. Lord, what I am, I owe it to you. I'm going to ask you again, when's the last time you really worshiped? Not shouted, not ran an aisle, not jumped a bench. When's the last time you really worshiped? When's the last time all you could do was just kiss on him and thank him? We're standing. Sister Candy, would you please come? I will thank you for your attention tonight. I know I've been a whole lot longer than I intended to be. Man, I'm so full. Brother Mark, I'm so full right now, son. I feel like Peter.